Last weekend on Saturday, or last Sunday, I guess you prayed that my Bible would be returned, Bible and journal. So I don't have good news in terms of that. But our house was broken into last Saturday. And it's a really, many of you have told me that you've had the same experience. It's such an invasion of privacy when they run right into your master bedroom, the place that's like intimate and private and for you and your spouse, and they just rummage through everything that you have and they take things. And so they gathered a whole bunch of stuff, different devices, et cetera. They got themselves a new tablet that won't work for them. They or a couple tablets, I think. They cell phones. They took a bunch of jewelry, money. That stuff is all fine. They grabbed my backpack, though, the one I carry everywhere I go that has all of my stuff that I use. So Bible, journals, tablet, couple of books, different things like that. Still haven't seen that. And so if you want to pray about that, would be fantastic. But the cool thing is on Wednesday, we found out that one of the things they had stolen was our identification, all of our identification. Other than our licenses, they took passports, they took all of our medical information, they took SIN numbers, they took birth certificates, all of it. And that is a real pain. And we found that out on Wednesday. And on Thursday, so no one really knew. I didn't send out a message. There's very few people that knew that we had lost everything. On Thursday, I get a text message from a friend who lives in Steinbach saying, and this is someone I don't talk to very often, like once or twice a year, a couple of text messages. Hey, I have a lead on your passport. I'm like, what? How do you know I lost my passport? Can I call you? I was right in the middle of a meeting, phoned her right away, and I said, what's the deal? She goes, my friend works for Canada Post. He was sorting mail at the main office, and he found your passport. He went on Facebook, found your profile. We have one mutual friend. It happens to be my friend from Steinbach. He sends her a message and says, I found your friend Donovan Friesen's passport. Can you just let him know that it's at the main office? So I contacted this guy, went down there, not just passports, everything was back. So that is awesome. Yeah, that is awesome. So I tell you that, one, because I said in an email that I would tell you, but two, there's a passage that I've been reflecting on for probably a couple of weeks now, based on a message that I had heard. And there was a message that I was listening to on Philippians 4, verse 8. The passage, it says, think about things that are lovely and admirable and praiseworthy, and the God of peace will be with you. And that passage, the guy was kind of articulating or walking it through, and he said, actually, that passage is not just sit in your house and just sit there and think about things that are good. It's more as you are going about your day in your life, as you are in the world, as you are walking and going through, look and observe and think about things that are good and lovely and admirable, praiseworthy, the God of peace is with you. It's easy when we walk around, it's easy to see things that are bad, correct? It's easy to see all the negative. Media does a great job of producing that for you, but it's easy to find the negative. And if you want peace, one of the things is as you're going about, look for things that are good. When we got this news, immediately I just wept. Reason why is not because getting it back is that important. It is important. It's not that important because you can get it again. But actually, it's something that was evil, intended for harm. Actually, God was flipping it and he was showing me that there was good. These criminals had to take something that was ours and decided somehow, I'm going to say the Spirit of God was working. They responded with their conscience. Something inside said, don't keep the ID, and they had the goodwill to at least put it into a mailbox for us. And I was like, God, there is good. That means that prayers are working and they're responding. That is so good. And so we're just thankful that there's good in the midst of it. And so we're just praying. I told the investigator when he came, I said, genuinely what I want for punishment for them is this. I want them to have to meet with me every week and to come to my house for dinner. He was like, really? I was like, yes. I just want them to put a face to the name. I want them to see the family, that it's not just they stole goods. It's like there's a family that they hurt and a family that forgives them entirely because I want it restorative. I don't just want it to be punishment. And so I had to confess to the Lord this week. Someone had sent me, told me that there was, they think they saw my bike. So I had to go look in a person's yard to see if it was my bike or not. And inside I was like, God, I don't know if I want to see them now. I'm not sure if I want my bike back now. I want my Bible, but the rest, insurance will give me much more for my stuff. I just want my Bible. And then he said, Donovan, it's not actually about that at all. It's actually for his kingdom. So I went to this house looking. I said, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to meet them. I didn't know what that was going to look like. I thought it was going to be tremendous. Wasn't my bike. And don't know them yet. We found a couple fingerprints at our house. Nothing has come up at this point. So we're good. We're fine. Like, we're taken care of. You don't have to worry that way for us at all. The Bible would be a tremendous thing. It's this whole week I felt totally lost. Because every day I go and sit in my back room, open up my Bible, or I sit at my fire, and I just enjoy the Word of God. And I write in there, and I journal. It's got huge margins in it. I got it when I started here at the church. And I've spent thousands of hours. And if there would be a way to get that back, it would be a tremendous gift. So, today, we're heading into a new series. Today, we're heading into a series, Using Your Gifts for the Kingdom. What does this mean? When we talk about the kingdom, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. There's kind of two. We talk about the kingdom of the world, and we talk about the kingdom of heaven. And so today we're going to look at this idea of gifts. I am only beginning it. As I was putting this together, I had to delete a lot of my message because it's actually for the other people or other weeks that we are preaching, and I can't go down this road and preach and take all of the good material from them. So I have to just give you a splattering today. I do not want you to walk out of here thinking, Donovan knows everything there is about gifts that are written in the Bible. I don't. This is one of my favorite topics to speak and preach on. I don't know everything about it, but I'm really hungry to grow and to learn. And I feel like because of the hunger, I've had the joy of talking and meeting with lots of people from all different walks. I've had the joy of practicing and participating. I've had people that are safe for me to explore the gifts and to practice them together. I recognize that people, even in here, some come out of the charismatic side, and you're used to a set of gifts that we call the charisms or the gifts of the Spirit. There's a set of gifts that we're comfortable with, and there's others that are like, all of those things are not good, they're too hard, they're too scary, I don't want them. And we have another side of maybe the conservative side where it's more about character and more about these things, or the gift of our personality or these traits that God has given us. Both are good and both are necessary in the church. So I'm going to try today to knock down some of the inhibitions and maybe some of the false stuff that goes on in there and try to get you excited at some level to at least open up the Word and say, God, I want to know and to get hungry about the gifts that God has for you. Is that fair? That is fair. Okay. So I have some gifts up front, and I'm going to need your help. First gift I have is a bottle of water. We talk about the gifts, and some people get weird that the gifts are this thing that is like a hyper-spiritual thing that you have to get into this trance and this place and hope that you get something, and if you move the right way and you have your legs doing something, you're going to get a gift given to you. It's not like that, okay? A gift is a gift. It's something when I say, Leslie, here's a gift for you. No return. She doesn't have to give it back. I give her a gift. It is something that I can gift her, and she can do what she wants with the gift. She can choose to just put it aside. She can choose to re-gift it if she doesn't like it. She can choose to use the gift, whatever it would be. You can have it, but I need the illustration. So if I give Leslie a gift, what can Leslie use the gift of water for? What could she do with it? You have to want it, okay, loud. Open it. Drink it. Hydrate, brush your teeth, water flowers, water gun, give it to someone else, the awkward moment when there's no water in the tank for the toilet, you dump it in, you get a little gift of water. There's things that you can do with a gift of water. Okay, you know that it was a young adult who said that. What if I gave Adam a Bible? What could Adam do with a Bible? Can drink it in a certain way, yes. What else can you do with the Bible? Read. Study. Start a fire. Please don't, but you could. A spirit fire. Ah, there we go. You could use it for preaching, for teaching, correct? Like there's things that the gift of the Word of God, there's people in the world that don't have the gift of Scripture that are Christ followers, and they don't have this gift, and they'd be desperate for one page of it, but it's a gift. And so this is a gift that I could give to someone. I have a chisel and a hammer. I even sharpened it. I got cut in the first service. What do you do if you're given the gift of a chisel and a hammer? Dunk. Knock people out. What could you use it for? Build a bench. Sculptures. This is not building a house. This is precision work, right? Engraving. There's things that you can do. You can become a craftsman with these tools, correct? This would be a good gift. What do you do when you have this? I made this creamer. It's very thick and heavy. You could kill people. You could drink from it. All right. Have this creamer. It might represent putting cream in. Could be used for what? Flowers? Chair. To what? Chair. Absolutely. What else? Syrup. You could serve coffee, but it represents to serve or hospitality and have people in. There's a variety of things that you could use. If you're Mennonite, you could have gravy. If I gave you a guitar and you were given the gift of a guitar, what can you do with the guitar? You can play it. For what? For yourself?
Worship.
Entertain. If you don't know how to use it, you can use it for decoration. You can put flowers in it. Right? There's a variety of things you can do. So suppose you're given a gift and you don't know how to use it. But if it's a gift given to you, you could choose at that point to do what with it? You could sell it, make some money. You could learn how to use the gift. Right? This is something that you can do. Now, when God gives us gifts, he knows who we are, what we're like, and he's building towards something that we're going to look at. But when he gives a gift, we have the option of what do we do with it. Now, I'll talk about this in a bit. I'm going to get way ahead of myself for sure in this service. But when you're given a gift, it's only a gift until you use it for the kingdom. As soon as you take any gift, okay, whether it's a physical gift, whether it's a part of your personality and who you are, as soon as you are given the gift and you use the gift for the kingdom, immediately it becomes a spiritual gift. You don't get weird about it. It just becomes a spiritual gift for the body to build the kingdom. And so I can play this guitar and I can just go entertain people and I can do my thing with it. And that's fine. It's a gift. People will love it. It's beautiful. But when you use it for the kingdom, it becomes a spiritual gift. It's something that you can use for the kingdom. And the Bible talks lots. I thought all spiritual gifts in the Bible were talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But actually, I'm realizing it's not that way. There's a lot of spiritual gifts that are in there that become a spiritual gift when they are used. I think about my children. I got a sword. I'm just going to hold it for a second. I think about my children. And I have four children. They grew up in the same home with the same mom and dad. And each of them is distinctly different. Very distinctly different. If you spent any amount of time with them, you would know that they are distinctly different. My son clearly likes swords. And the other day, my son and my third child, my Talia, so Riker and Talia, when we were given the sword, they were at grandma and grandpa's, and it was the two of them that were stabbing the hay bales. They were just, whoosha! They thought that was the coolest thing. My other two weren't interested at the time. But my kids, how do they have different gifts and different abilities, different traits and personalities? How do they have it when they grow up in the same home? Should they be the same, all of them the same? But it's not that way because God is the one who gives gifts already, good gifts, your personality and your traits from when you are young. I talk about my son, and my son, he's 14, and he has a tremendous mind to remember things. So I've studied the Word of God my whole life. There's rarely a day that I haven't read the Word, spent time in it since I was a child. And to this day, if I want details about things in the Bible, I can ask Riker. Why? He doesn't even read it, hardly, on occasion. He's 14. But he remembers all the little details. How does he do that? It's a gift. He can decide if he's going to use that gift for the kingdom or use it for himself. It will come in very handy as he is growing up. But if he uses it for the kingdom, it becomes a spiritual gift. So what happens when you're given a gift that you see no immediate need for? In our day and age, we would say a sword is non-existent except for play, right? For on a stage. But if God gives you a gift, like a sword, gives you a gift, you're like, well, what do I do with it? If there's no reason for it, you're asking him, God, like, what do I do? He might be saying, son, there's a war that's coming, and you're going to need a sword. Now, I'm using the sword. I'm not talking on the spiritual side, but if God says, actually, son, I gave it to you for a reason, and I only give good gifts and ones that are needed for the body, I want you to get proficient at using the sword because there's a time coming when you're going to need the sword. Now, we often think, God, I don't know what to do with it. My gift has no purpose. There's no value. Like, what's the reason? Why do I need it? And yet God is the one who gives the gift. And if he gives the gift, there's a reason for it. And we're going to look in scripture to find out what the reason is. But if you're given a gift and you're not sure what to do with it, it doesn't mean you just throw it out, although you can. But I want to suggest that what God is doing is he's inviting you to actually take the gift that he's given you and actually learn what the purpose is and how to use it. Does that make sense? Yes, Donovan. Oh, yeah, that was so good. That was for the young adults only to learn that. God knows what he's doing, and he gives us gifts based on who he made us to be. He gives us gifts based on what the body of Christ needs, and ultimately that all gifts, he wants them to be used to glorify him, hence they become spiritual gifts. We have in 1 Peter chapter 4, God has given each of you a gift. This is what it says. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. How many spiritual gifts are there? Yeah, variety. That means there's many different ones. Use them well to what? How interesting. He's given a whole bunch of different spiritual gifts, and we are to use them to serve one another. He goes on, he says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Can you imagine God in heaven? And he's giving these gifts because he wants the church to be built. Spiritual gifts, not necessary for those outside of the church or not following God, but he wants it. There are to be gifts that are going to be used here to serve one another. And they become spiritual gifts at this point. Imagine the Father who's dispersing these gifts appropriately to all sorts of people from the beginning of time, and how much joy would be in his heart when his children begin to use them for his kingdom the way that he intended from the beginning. That'd be amazing. You know what it's like if you have children. You know what it's like when your children use their gifts, right? You know what that's like. If you don't have kids, you might not understand, but it's a joy when, okay, so the other day we had some people over at our house, and I just said to my kids, I said, oh, whose turn is it to do dishes? And one of my kids was like, oh, it's my turn. It was Michaela. It's my turn, Dad. I got it. I plan to do it in just a few minutes. I got that. I was like, ooh, you made me so proud in front of these people, these guests that are over. She's like, Dad, I got it. I'm going to do it. I was like, yeah, you weren't even voluntold. You just did it. It makes a dad proud when the kid gets the role and the responsibility, using the gift, understands that we're all part of a family. It's something exciting that we can do. They all have the gift of dishes, by the way, each of my kids. But God chooses and determines from early on who gets which gift in terms of that. We have to choose whether we're going to use it for his kingdom. Paul talks about the longing to come to the church in Rome, and he wants to impart a spiritual gift to strengthen them. And he says this, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Paul, first he says he's longing to see them. So this isn't like he has to go see them. He can hardly wait to go and impart a spiritual gift. Something that has. We know some of the gifts that he has. He's a teacher. Clearly, he's a teacher. He's an evangelist. He's an apostle. He has a gift that he can give. He has a gift of faith. There's healing. He has these gifts that he can pass on to them, but he's excited to come. It's like he's saying, it is my great pleasure. I can hardly wait. And it's not just me in pride. I got this gift. I'm gonna bestow, Jason, my gift upon you because I am awesome and you need me. No. It is my joy to come and encourage him, but mutually we are going to be encouraged. Mutually beneficial. Mutually it's going to grow our faith. Mutually. This is a gift that we have, part of how the body works. It's not Donovan is awesome and he's the preacher, therefore he's the one who has everything to give. No. It's actually, I get to give to you, you get to give to me, we get to give to each other. It's a family working together, mutually beneficial. It becomes a great joy to use the gifts that God has given you. So if you are a great teacher, as soon as you use your gift, actually to help people build their faith, use your gift to do it. It can be in a secular environment or the church, but when you use it, it becomes a spiritual gift. Gift of generosity, there's many people who are philanthropists, giving money, investing all over, but you use it for the kingdom, to build the kingdom, what happens? Spiritual gift. Are you following? I'll give you one more, and the answer is spiritual gift, okay? If you have the gift of service, use it for the kingdom, it becomes a spiritual gift. We could say, I'm serving more than them, it doesn't make sense, it's unfair, I'm doing all this stuff and no one else is. That's not a spiritual gift. That's you're arrogant and you're proud, and God needs to probably give you a gentle spanking. I didn't know if I was allowed to say that word in today's society. I just said it. So, but this is the way this works. If you use it to build the kingdom, then what? Spiritual gift. And that's the part of this here. So the first great gift that he gives, apart from our personalities and the abilities, is actually found in Luke 11:13. And I'm just going to rip through this here just a little bit. If you then, who are evil, talking to us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? First gift, a gift that is given from the Father himself, is the Holy Spirit. Jesus was here on earth. He said, I must leave so the Holy Spirit can come. The Holy Spirit needs to be sent by the Father for you because you're going to need the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is going to lead you. He's going to teach you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to walk with you. John 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. We get to ask, Father gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Make sense? That's where we start. Now, there's gifts that we also get, not just from the Father. We get gifts from the Spirit, but we also get gifts from the Son. So what kind of gifts do we get from Jesus? There's been some conflict, I think, in the church about the gifts. So Jesus himself, going off notes now for a bit, Jesus himself is, it says he is head of the church. He's the Lord, he is the one who leads it. He's head of the church and he's in our midst. He's analyzing and walking through and he's finding out, is the Spirit even here? Is the Holy Spirit here? And he, as head of the church, what he does is he gives gifts to the church. Ephesians 4 talks about this. We've talked about it many times. These aren't just gifts of the Spirit. We're talking, these are gifts from Jesus, because Jesus is head of the church and he puts a plan in place to help equip the saints, to teach them, okay? So he has a leadership plan. He has gifts that he gives to teach the body how to minister to each other, how to reach our neighbors, how to communicate, how to love each other. I'm supposed to have one of these gifts that he gives. So what are the gifts that he gives? It's found in Ephesians 4. You can go read all the way through. And I'll just read this little bit and you can, and he, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And then it talks into maturity, into unity. This is what it talks about. Jesus gives gifts, and he gives gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher for the church to help equip and train you so you guys can minister to each other. Awesome. So these aren't just gifts of the Spirit, although there's a gift of prophecy that comes from the Holy Spirit. But the gift of Jesus is for the church. Okay, and then we have the gift of the Spirit. These are also really important. The gifts of the Spirit have often been abused in our society, in the Western society. We've often used them more like having this little, it's going to sound not that good, having like a little affair with Jesus where it's all about me, and I use the gifts that he gives me, for my purpose, for my intention, for me. But that wasn't the point of the gifts. The point of the gifts are to bring glory to him and encourage the body. Now, there's other parts. We're going to use some of these gifts for the going out as well, but that's a primary function of what they're for. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. These are two passages often gone to. They're long passages about the gifts of the Spirit. And they talk about what these are. So again, the Father gave us the Holy Spirit. Jesus, he gives us the gifts for the church. And then, this is the neat part. We invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, and anyone who asks can have the Holy Spirit. And then the Spirit himself gives you gifts as well. And I think that's just tremendous. So the three of them working together, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father has his plan, sends Jesus, Jesus doesn't know time or hour when he's going to come again. Jesus is here, starts a movement, dies for our sins, conquers death, takes back authority, goes back to heaven. They send the Holy Spirit. Spirit comes, and the Spirit is given authority to give us gifts as well. And these gifts are important and necessary for us to spur us on and encourage us. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. And you can go and you can spend time, lots of time in here, and you can read it. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For what? What that means is the good common among us. It's not just for one person's good. It's for the common good. This is what he's doing. It goes on to say, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. And it ends by this: all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So he gives an amount, he chooses who, then he gives an amount that he can give to you. So, which is really, really incredible. The Spirit has these different gifts, and the reason why he has different ones is because there's many needs in the body, and he needs all of these working for the common good. So if I use myself as an example of the church, because in the rest of 1 Corinthians 12, it uses the body to be a representation of the body. So if I have an itch on my knee, okay? No one knows why there would be an itch, why we itch. I have that. I don't have a clue. Maybe, Caitlin, do you know why we itch? Okay, I don't either. But so you get an itch on your knee. So the knee sends a message up to the brain to say, there's an itch on my knee. Can you send some help, right? Fingers. And it feels so good, right? It feels really good to get some help from another part of the body to take care of an itch. Will the knee fall off if it doesn't get scratched? Will the knee die? Will it cease to exist? No, of course not. It will continue. But there's something so remarkable when you get some help to scratch, and then it just, I think we itch because it just feels good. Like, I think it's one of those, like, gives you, like, chemical endorphins or whatever in your brain. You're like, oh, that is so good. And then you start to itch everywhere, right? You're like, oh, that feels great. But your knee doesn't fall off when you don't have it. And I think what's happened in the church in the West is that actually there's these gifts that we can help each other to encourage, to spur on. You don't need it. We can meet and we can do church. We can not use the gifts and just be nice to each other. And we've done this now for generations in this country, right? And what happens is the church starts to die. But if actually we would start by helping to scratch or helping to encourage or bandage, or we help and we start using the gifts, then there's a reason to come to church instead of just going online and watching a message there. There's enough people that are like, I hate the church. The people are so fill in the blank. I just go to church online. That's fine. Especially if the church isn't operating using its gifts for the common good to build up. But if the church is going to use the gifts to build up, if you come in and someone has maybe a prophetic word for you and says, I have this thought that maybe God wants to say this to you, or they come over and they just have an encouragement, or someone comes and they're serving and you watch someone coming and they're picking up garbage after a message and they're putting it aside, and then someone comes up to them and says, thank you, I'm just so blessed that you actually care and you're cleaning up. Thank you for doing that. Which someone takes a kid outside and they're playing patty cake or whatever. Then we start to use the gifts, so when we gather, we're spurred on for the common good. And actually what's going to happen is we're going to grow in love for each other. We're going to grow in love for the Lord, and our faith is going to grow. And your faith grows because when someone shares a word from God with you, they're like, oh man, Jason, I have this sense from you that God wants to tell you that he's really pleased with the work that you do. And if Jason just had a job that he was working on that he screwed up massively and I didn't know, and I'm just coming to him on this day and I said, I think God just wants you to know that he loves the work that you do and you're such a good employee. And then I just walk away not having a clue. The Holy Spirit ministers to Jason in the time of trouble. This is the body as one little example. Gift of healing, it's very similar, right? Imagine if God gave a portion many people in this church with a gift of healing. What would happen in this church? People start getting healed, and then what? And then other people are like, what? People get healed in that church? We need to go. There's great revivals in the 60s and 70s here in Winnipeg. There's a church that my friend runs, Tom Campbell. They have pictures of like wheelchairs and crutches all around the church because they had revival that broke out in their church and people all got healed. Yeah, that's awesome, right? God gives gifts to the church for the body. Actually, for the common good, to grow, to build us up. I'm not getting into the theology of it, but there we have it. Okay, Paul tells us what to do about the different gifts that are there, about the spiritual gifts and what to do. Some of you might be a little fearful of it, think it's scary or weird or had a bad experience. In chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, he talks about the gifts and he says it this way. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Oh, now why in the world would that be the case? Why especially prophecy? Well, it goes on to say, I just put the last bit of the verse, but it goes on to say, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. Now, if you've never been around the gift of tongues, what that's like, there should be some serious questions going on in your mind and heart right now. Like, what in the world? Utters mysteries in the spirit? What is that like? How does it work? I need to know. There should be something like that inside that goes, I need to know. You should just ask. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The difference between tongues that he's talking about here and prophecy, tongues is your own personal. And the gift of prophecy encourages and builds up the church. That's why I'm saying pursue this one. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. Paul is so passionate about the church. He's like, no, tongues are awesome. This is really good. Tongues is really good if you have someone to interpret because then it encourages the body. Prophecy, really good because it's for the body. And he's so passionate about this part. And I like when he says that we are supposed to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So I'm going to spend the last 15 minutes of my message. I'm going to tell you my story about the gifts of the Spirit and the journey in which to get here. And then I'm going to pray and we'll end in worship. I grew up in a really good home. We did not talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We were not against them. We just did not talk about the active work of the Holy Spirit. We spent the vast majority of our time in this camp on the conservative side of being, everything was about character, which is excellent. I'm very grateful for that. I was active in ministry my whole life. I used the gifts that I'd been, I guess, gifted with from when I was a child. I loved music. I played drums in the church. I later on played guitar. I eventually led worship. I helped with kidsmen and Christmas skits or sketches, and I went to summer camp and I counseled and I did all those things. Anywhere I could be involved, I got involved. Pause. You should not be thinking right now, like guilt, like I don't do any of that stuff. I shouldn't be, what's wrong with me? No. This is what I was made for. Like if I could have been at the church every single day of my life, I would have been at the church all the time. I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. Anywhere I could be involved, especially if there were adults around that I really liked, I was game. So that was an important piece for me. When I was 18, I started to help out in the youth ministry. Right when I graduated, by 20, I was leading the youth group at our church as a volunteer. By 22, I was already married. I led a weekly gym night on Wednesday nights, and I led youth group on Friday. We had worship practice Saturday morning. I was leading worship on Sunday morning. I was involved in the ministerial and the board, both of the church, and I was pumped. This is not like a guilt thing. I'm trying to get you an understanding of where I was at. Anything that I could be involved with, I wanted to be involved with. When I was 21, I got married. Kendra and I, we grew in our relationship and we grew in faith. But a couple years into our marriage, we both became very discontent. Not discontent as in doubting, discontent as in, is this it? For the next 70 years, is this what we do? We do gym nights and youth group. We do church and worship. Is this it or is there more to this thing besides this? Can we minister better? What about these gifts that are talked about in the Bible? Like, we just don't go there where I was from, but how do they operate and how do we do it? And there was this hunger that I needed to feed and I didn't know how to feed it. So we decided to go on a journey together, and I'll say it was one of the most exhilarating journey I've ever been on. I wouldn't say it was always good, but it was exhilarating. We learned or I would say we were eagerly desiring the gifts of the Spirit. I remember hearing of a lady where I'd worked at, just as an example, in particular in the gift of tongues. I had heard of the gift of tongues, I just never knew anyone who had the gift. They weren't in my circle. So I found someone that had the gift of tongues, and I had to speak to them. Then, of course, all the doubts come in, like what do you say to them? Like, hey, can you tell me about tongues? Like, that's going to be awkward. Then I feel like an idiot. Like, I'm already like a pastor-type person. I should probably know. I probably shouldn't say anything. But you say something because I had to know, and it didn't matter how dumb I felt. I needed to know. So I invited her to come to my office, and I spent time with her, and I said, I hear you speak in tongues. She's like, yeah, I do. What is it like? What does it sound like? Like, what's the tone? Can you use it anytime you want? Like, do you go into this weird special trance thing? Like, is there worship? How does it, I just want everything. And hours we spent as I just asked questions. I was so way out. I had no concept of what it was like. And at the final end, I wanted to hear her pray in tongues because she said, oh yeah, I can pray anytime I want in tongues. I was like, can you pray out loud right here? She's like, no one's ever asked me that before, but yeah. So we're still friends to this day, which is really good. Didn't receive the gift of tongues at that point, but my curiosity was really piqued. I worked at Linden Christian as a youth pastor, and I was there when I was 25 years old, and we'd get there early in the mornings, 2 days a week for prayer meeting. We had about 40 kids in my office, and it's like 6 a.m, and these kids were hungry. We were desperate. I'd bring my guitar, we'd sit, we'd worship, and we'd pray, and we just sought God together. Well, one day, this is probably a year and a half in, one day, on this hunger journey, I was like, that's it. I got to ask God to speak. So I just said, God, we want to hear from you. Is there anything you want to say? And I was pooping my pants. Because I was so nervous and filled with anticipation all at the same time, and I didn't know what to do. And bam, one of the kids was like, I see a picture. I was like, got my journal, and I'm ready to write. She said, I see a picture of this road. And on this road, there's people that are sitting on this bench on the side. There's people over here. Someone else like, I see the same picture. I see the same picture. And I'm like, we're in a Holy Spirit moment right now. I grab my journal. I am crying. I'm like, God, I cannot believe that you would gift us with this opportunity to have you here with us. And I wrote like mad because I thought this was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. As we're going through, all of a sudden, the one person said, I see the end of the road. I'm like, oh, yeah? What does it look like? It's a cliff. I was like, oh, no. And I'm thinking, turn around, everyone, go back, this is not good. And but instead I said, God, what do you want us to know about the cliff? And all of a sudden this one of the girls said, I think we're supposed to take a step of faith and there's still a bridge and we're supposed to walk over it, like Indiana Jones. Right? She's like, I think we're just supposed to take a step of faith and now we're ready to take faith. I said, oh my goodness. And I didn't know if we were embarking on territory that wasn't safe or not, but I couldn't stop. And it continued to grow from there. We began to sense many different things and I began to act on them. If I'd have a sense of go give someone a coffee or go encourage someone or go into this restaurant and midway going there for lunch, I'd feel like inside, maybe I should go to a different one. I would just change the course because I wanted to know, is this God and is he speaking, is he leading me? And I began to fall in love with this faith journey. So I started to look for books that I was out of my little world and I came across a book by John Bevere. I've shared many of these stories before. I'm just trying to give you a quick splatter here. In the book, it talked about being filled with the Spirit and God giving good gifts. And he talked about how he heard God speak and what it was like. And he told a story about he's driving down a highway and God says, pull over, I want to talk. And I was like, God, I want that so bad. I want to hear you that way. So I was driving home from there. I pulled over on the side of the road and I asked God to fill me with the Spirit. I was like, I didn't know if he was going to fall in the vehicle, what was going to happen, nothing. I was just like, oh, the Bible says you're going to fill me. I'm in. And I kept driving and I made it onto Somerville, just a few blocks from here. And I felt this, I won't say audible, but I felt this inner voice say, pull over, I want to talk to you. And I was like, there is no way I'm pulling over because that's what John Bevere did. I'm just reading his story. And then the thought was there, like, if you don't pull over, you'll never know. So I pulled over on the side of the road and God began to speak very clearly for me. It's probably the clearest I've ever heard him speak to this day. And he began to lay out how to do youth ministry. And he said, Donovan, I want you to quit doing youth ministry because it's not helping your kids. Now, again, this was my whole life. This is what I'd given my whole life to. I want you to quit because they're not learning how to worship me, how to seek me, how to pray, how to read the word. They're not coming for that. They're coming for something different. It'd be better for you to quit and just teach them how to love me and be in the word than it would be to do what you're doing. So we kept talking. All of a sudden, the conversation ended. There was no more. So it still took me a couple of years, probably another year that I didn't know what that meant. We just kept praying and seeking the Lord at the school. And then we ended up going to Southland, and the result was we changed how we did youth ministry. And I've shared about the hemorrhaging report. There was a report that was written about Canada and the youth group in Canada. And the report came back really bad. And the report came back that kids that in Canada, this is just like 5-6 years ago maybe, kids in Canada that were considered core kids in youth group when they were in grade 12, 60% of them within 1 year of being out of high school were no longer going to be in the church. That's a bad number. So we started to do the same testing at our church with the new way that we were doing youth ministry. And do you know what our results are and continue to be? Less than 1% walk away. Now, that's not us. That's not me. That is the Lord giving an idea, giving a plan. And he spoke it long before I was even in the place that was happening. This is how God operates. Now, Kendra as well, she's been on quite this journey as well. And there's many stories. Lack of time, I'll just give one. Kendra is very different than I was. She's very methodical and organized and detailed. Kendra's not by nature an emotional person. I would be the emotional one in the family. And everything is done in order for her. Well, I would go to youth group on Friday nights, and Kendra, she would come because I was now hearing God. I was on this journey of hearing him, and she would come to youth, and she would sit in a prayer room with her hands like this, and she would wait for 2-3 hours waiting for God to speak to her. Never spoke, didn't give her anything. She just sat there, honestly, didn't move, just sat with her hands like this for the whole youth time. Then we'd leave, and after, she did this for almost a year, I think. Almost every Friday for almost a year. I said, Kendra, did you hear God speak? Nope. I said, are you discouraged? She would just say, well, do you believe that God speaks? I said, well, yeah. Well, then I do too, and I'm just going to wait until he speaks. And this was her determination. And she just waited for God and waited for God. We ended up going to Southland. We went to a retreat. This is several months after being there. Went to a retreat. And on the Sunday, there was this couple that we'd been praying for all weekend. And this couple was really at odds with each other. And they weren't sitting together. They weren't spending time together. They were polar opposite ends. And we were so frustrated. I'm like, just forgive each other. Go hug each other or something. Anyway, Kendra's praying. And I remember exactly where she was standing. She's praying. And she's praying for this couple. And we're having an altar call. And she's praying. And she's like, she tells me after, she sees a picture of this wall. She'd never seen anything before. She's like, I think it's a wall. God, is that a wall? God, what are you showing me with this wall? And all of a sudden, the wall exploded and there was light. And she opens her eyes. And at that moment, what had happened? This couple, right at that time, they had walked to the front and they just embraced each other and they were weeping and holding each other. And Kendra's like, God, you speak. You do speak. And he gave a picture about what he was doing with this particular couple. And Kendra today, fast forward, Kendra today is by far my most trusted prophet in this church. She doesn't want me to ever say that. She's not here. She hears God so accurately and so clearly. And I want her to know, what does it look like? And how do you do it? And how is it? And when I close my eyes, for me, it's like black. And then God's like, that's like a tree. I'm like, oh, okay. It's like an impression. Kendra is different. And I realize that we're all different. We just don't talk and want to know and get hungry. Kendra's like a movie. Like, she sees color. She sees people. She can read words. I'm like, you really see it like that? This is the difference. But we just got hungry and we began to use each other's gifts to help us. I would never be doing the work that we're doing today if it wasn't for my wife. I use these gifts every single day of my life. During worship, you might find that I'm just sitting here and I'm singing in tongues or praying quietly. Sometimes I have to sit down because God is speaking something that I just need to write down that has nothing to do with the message. It has something to do later. And I have to just stop and write it because right now he wants to say something. I don't know why, but I go, okay, God, I'm in. I use it for preparing a message. I use it for parenting, for reading the word, giving leadership to this church. When I'm struggling, yesterday I was officiating a wedding out in Zota, Manitoba. Yeah, I'd never been there. And I went there and it was, they all know each other. They're all family. They're all Ukrainian. And we had like 3 hour break or almost a 4 hour break between the wedding and the ceremony and the reception. So I just went early and I was just going through my message and redoing some stuff and working on it. And then these two other vehicles showed up shortly after I got there. They parked a little ways away and I just waved and waved. And then it was like the Holy Spirit said, like, what are you doing in the van? I said, working on the message. I have a pretty busy weekend this weekend. I'm working on the message. He goes, actually, I've set up an appointment and I want you to go talk with him. God, that's cool, but I got to preach. And I'm already not going to get much sleep. I think I need to go through my message. So I closed my tablet and I got out and I went and spent some time with him in the plus 39 or whatever it was yesterday. You want to hear something cool? I go and introduce myself and there's a girl and a guy. They didn't know each other. They were people from out of town. I was out of town. And so the three of us don't really know anyone there and we're having this conversation. I said, hey, I'm Donovan Friesen. She's like, what? I'm like, I'm Donovan Friesen. She goes, that is the craziest thing. I have two people that I work with. I mean, she has many, but I work with two people whose names are Donovan Friesen. I was like, what? There's another Donovan Friesen? I know of one, but there's two more that have that same name? She goes, it's crazy. I work with two Donovan Friesens. And I knew, and the Holy Spirit right away was like, see, I set this up. It's an appointment. She was so hungry. She wanted to know about faith, about God, how it works, about Mennonites and Christians and in the world, and why don't Mennonites want cell phones? And I was like, what? Mennonites don't want cell phones? Weird. And we had this dynamic. She just wanted to grow. She's like, I am so hungry for faith. This guy just listened in. They believe God exists, but they were just hungry for faith. And God says, Donovan, this is what I've called you to. Abide in my spirit. It's not your way. It's my way. All of this works. Why? Responding to the work of the Spirit. It's the gifts at work. It's the body to encourage each other. Today, you're to be encouraged with some stories to go, God, I'm hungry and I want to know. God, I want to grow. Maybe you've been terrified of all the charismatic gifts. Maybe it's at a place where you say, God, I want it. And maybe God's going to say to you or not say anything and just see if you're going to wait like Kendra. Maybe there's a gift that's been in you that you've been waiting to use that you didn't know if it was safe. It's safe here. It's safe to try. And if you do something that's going to derail it, you'll just have a meeting with me and it'll be awkward. No, it'll be great. And we'll have this time together. But we're to be the church and the body that works together for the common good. There's a hurting world out there and we got hurting people here and we need the gifts to be operational. What gift has God given you that you can use for the body to make your gift spiritual? What gift has he given you? Maybe you think you have the gift to come teach, but maybe the gift in your hand right now is not this. Maybe the gift right now that you have is the creamer. Right? And you're coming early and you're pouring cream for people and you're, can I get you a coffee? And maybe that's the gift that you have today. But church, this is actually what God intended. He wanted the body to gather that we could, for the common good, build each other up in the things of the Lord. And he's given us gifts from God, Holy Spirit, gifts of Jesus, leadership to equip and train you, and gifts from the Holy Spirit so you can minister to each other and grow in faith. Amen? So we're going to end with a song of worship, and I'm going to pray for you. So why don't you stand? Just put your hands up before you. You don't have to put your hands out, but in an act of just wanting to receive from God. God, you are the one who knows all of the history and background of every person here. You know the fears. God, you know the joys and the delights. You know the future and the past. God, you know what their family situation was like, their church situation. God, you know if they were new, you know hidden sin. You know joys, you know purpose. God, you know the gifts that are not being used that you want to use. And Holy Spirit, I ask, would you today remind each person here, what gift have you already given them that you want to make a spiritual gift? A gift that they can serve the body with. God, not comparing. Not, I wish I had that person's gift. God, what gift have you given already now? God, that you would like them to move into being a spiritual gift. God, would you bring that thought to mind? Would you reveal it, God, on the inside? God, would you empower each of the people here by your Spirit? Would you empower them to serve in that way, to take risk? God, if we can't do it in this family, we'll never do it. But God, if we can do it in the family, we can risk and try. Maybe, God, the gift of healing is there, and you hear someone sick and you just go over and say, can I pray for you? God, maybe this is the way it functions. Or maybe you have a sense, or during worship, God seems to be speaking to you about someone and you just jot it down and you stop and you write that person in the front who's wearing a cap. I have this word for you. And God says, I think he says this. And you just go and give it to them and you can just walk away. But God, the gifts will begin to function in the church. God, I know there's already many that are happening, but God, I pray that they would function. I pray for a filling of your Spirit that would be fresh on people. God, if people haven't asked, I pray that today they would ask you to fill them. And then Holy Spirit, would you grant them gifts for the common good? God, to build it up and to encourage and to spur us on, God, for your kingdom. And God, we don't want pride to be in the way. And often, God, when we have a gift or we're really good at something, it can be pride. God, I ask that pride would be laid aside and we would truly know that it's actually personality or gifting that you give. It's actually you the one that empowers. It's actually for your glory and your honor. It's for your church. It really has nothing to do with us except to submit and say, God, I'm in. You can use me. I'm in for your purpose, for your kingdom. God, thank you. Thank you for the gift of being able to speak and to share. And God, for your Spirit to dwell and to move us forward. God, be glorified in what we do. God, put a hunger that actually they wouldn't be able to get rid of. The hunger that would be so deep, they would ask questions, that they would wonder, that they would look in your word, that they would ask other people, that they wouldn't stop until there's some answers, God, that they have some understanding. God, I pray that this would grow more and more here in our church. God, we pray these things in your holy name. Amen.